So imagine you are rummaging around in your house and you find a box, and in that box you find someone's personal diary, which contains their innermost thoughts and feelings that they've written in there. Do you read it?
Yes.
What if it belongs to someone you really know very well, like your parent or your child or your spouse? Would you really want to know what they think about you deep in their hearts? Not just what they say, but what they think deep in their hearts. And I think we're all a little bit curious about what someone really thinks of us, not just what they say. And we probably know pretty well what they really think about us, what they would write about us in their diary, but maybe not. Maybe there's someone who you're really close to and you would be surprised to find in their diary they don't feel that way about you. Or maybe there's someone who you think doesn't even think about you or care for you at all, but you would find that they've written things about you that show that they really like you. Imagine that person you had a crush on in high school. You never said anything, but it turns out they had a crush on you too. It's interesting to think about what someone is really thinking. And I wonder, do you ever wonder what God is really thinking? What God is thinking about us? Or what Jesus Christ is thinking about us? Or what he's thinking about you? During this time of the pandemic, I know a lot of people are saying, what's God really thinking? What does God think about us? Someone asked me this week, does God still love us? And I know that there are people who, for whatever reason, have questions about whether or not Jesus loves them. There are people who are taught up that Jesus, who are brought up and taught that Jesus is a very strict person, that his love is kind of conditional, that it comes with strings, and that if you're not doing the right thing or you're not living the right life, that maybe Jesus doesn't love you. I know there are people who are taught, because maybe they're LGBTQ, or maybe they've been divorced, or there's something in their past that they're not proud of, they're taught that Jesus doesn't love them. And so it's worth thinking about, do we know that Jesus loves us? Do we know that his innermost thoughts are with us? And what does he think about us? If we were to find the Jesus' personal diary in an attic somewhere in Nazareth, what would it say about you? You know, the Bible doesn't really give us a sense that Jesus wrote a lot in his life, so we don't have a personal diary, but the gospel does give us a sense of what Jesus thinks about us. It's spread throughout the scriptures, and in this passage we have in John in particular, we have a wonderful indication of how Jesus really thinks about us, because it is a private conversation that we have today in John. It's a private conversation that Jesus shares here at the end of his time with the disciples. He's been with them since the feast of the Passover. Jesus was with his disciples in John chapters ago. And he's been walking with them, and he's been teaching them, and he's been guiding them, and he's been talking with them. And now he's taking a moment right before he is arrested. What follows from this passage today is Jesus is arrested by an angry mob. He's brought off and he's tried. But right before that happens, Jesus takes this wonderful moment, and it's a very intimate conversation that we get to hear, where he's praying for these people with whom he has traveled for all of this time. And he takes them and he gathers them, and then he looks up at heaven and he says what we hear today. And it's a very unique passage, because Matthew and Mark and Luke have Jesus at this moment, before he is captured, have Jesus off by himself. But here in John, we get to hear everything that he thinks. It's like reading Jesus' personal diary. And it turns out, you know what, when we read what Jesus really thinks about us, it turns out that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he, in his heart, feels like he has adopted us. He says, Father, the hour has come, glorify me as I have tried to glorify you. You have given me these people, he says. He recognizes that we have been given to him. And that makes a tremendous difference in our life, to know that we belong to Jesus Christ. That as we go about our lives, as we live whatever it is that we do during the day, that we're not just this random collection of folks living here in this world, but that we are actually marked as Christ's own. That we have been given the gift of ownership by a God who's loving us and caring for us. Now, I know I get gifts sometimes. People give me things and I put them in the closet or I put them in the shelf and I don't ever think about them. But Jesus is saying in this passage, as he shares his private thoughts with God, he's saying about how much he cares for us and he loves us. It's part of what makes me happy to know that I am a Christian, because whatever else happens to me, I belong to Jesus Christ. But that's not the only thing he says here in his private thoughts. Jesus also prays that God, just as he and God are one, he prays that we are also one with him and with God. It's a unity that Jesus prays for, and it's so interesting because in this time of separation, we've got to realize it's not a physical unity. Jesus prays that we are united, but he's not saying, I wish they were all in that same place every single Sunday, worshiping together, and he knows that's never going to happen. And he's not saying that I wish they all had the same thought about politics or about things in life or about how church should be worshipped. He's not saying that, and that's not going to happen. But what he's praying is that at our heart, that we are united together with him, and that we move from being these individual, separate, isolated units in life to being together as one. And he's praying for church. You know, when we think about next week is Pentecost. Next week is the day when we celebrate that church is born through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But all that comes up to it this moment, as Jesus prays to his Father for the unity of these random followers, he's putting the groundwork there for church to happen. He's saying, I want them to move from doing whatever they want to doing things in my name. I want them to move from being out there running around, scurrying around, to following a common direction and a common path. I want them to move from having to rely on their own strength, their own will, their own eagerness, and live according to their own fears, to them being gathered together, living according to me, relying on their unity, relying on each other, working on each other's behalf. And that's what church is. You know, since this time when Jesus gathered together his disciples and he talked with them, in the past 2,000 years, we've gone all over the world as church. We've developed all sorts of new things. We've gone to all sorts of different places and different ways of doing this, including what we're doing today. This incredible and different new way of being church. But for all the changes, we might as well still be 11 or 12 people gathered around a little campfire somewhere in the Middle East worshiping at Jesus' feet, because that's what we are. We're still this small group of people learning from the Master, figuring out how to be good, how to treat each other well, how to care for the poor and those who are on the edges of life. And whatever else happens in our life, this pandemic or bad Zoom calls or the frustrations of losing our work or losing our loved ones, whatever else happens, we are still that small group of people that Jesus is praying for today. We are still united. And what Jesus has prayed for has come to pass. We are a church. Can you see, the question is, can you see in your heart, when you think about what Jesus is thinking of you, can you see what he's saying today? That he has adopted you. That he loves you. That he cares for you. That he has united you to me and to him and to everyone else in the world. And that this love doesn't depend on how well we're living during this coronavirus. It doesn't depend on how good we are, how smart we are, how strong we are, how rich we are. It doesn't depend on our social status or anything else. It really depends on us opening our hearts to him. And you can do that through Zoom. And you can do that through Facebook. And you can do that sitting in your bed at night. You could do that walking along the street, wherever you are. We are united. And what we learned as children, that 1 + 1 = 2, we now know to be false. Because 1 + 1 = 1. And we even have a word for when you plus another equals one, and that word is love. So from time to time, in the crazy week ahead, as you're looking outside your window, or as you're on another frustrating Zoom call, or as you're thinking about how you're going to make it, or as you're praying for someone, or you're thinking about someone who's sick, I hope you'll take this passage to heart and realize that Jesus is praying for you at this moment. That everything that has gone before has prepared us for these times. And that in his innermost thoughts, as he's talking with God the Father, he's thinking of you, and he's thinking of me, and he's thinking of the sick, and he's thinking of the dying, and he's thinking of those who are lost. He's thinking of us. And I hope that you pause and realize that not only does he pray that we are safe, but he has gathered us together through this time and wrapped his loving arms around each of us to form us, not as individual units running around, falling off the tree like leaves and being blown around by the wind, but to form us as church. However that happens, we are still church. We are all the church. May God continue to bless you and keep you.